going to start a brand new series today. The title of the series is Discerning God's Will. Would you please say that out loud? Say, Discerning God's Will. The subtitle today is Direction for Life. Would you please say this as a prayer? Say, Lord, I need direction in my life. So discerning God's will, today we want to talk about direction for life. Everywhere I minister, here in our church, here in the U.S., all around the world, many believers are wrestling with wanting to know what God's will is for their life. What are the particulars? What is God's purpose for their life? And so the big question is, how can I know God's will for my life? And so that's a very understandable question. And it's a reflection of a good heart of saying, man, I want to know. I want to know God's will. So in Jeremiah chapter 29, 11, most of us have this memorized. If you don't have it memorized, you're going to like it so much. You'll go home and you'll memorize it. Here's what it says. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I want you to know today, God has amazing and wonderful plans for your life. He has a great plan and a purpose for your life. And so this is His will. This is His desire that you would enjoy life, that you would have meaning in your life, that you would have significance in your life, that you would know your purpose, and that you could enjoy life, but you could also influence others. And so the big question then is, how can I know God's specific will for my life? What's He calling me to do? And so we all have a call from the Lord. We all have a very significant purpose to accomplish here on earth. And so I want to talk about direction for life. What's the direction for our life? Now, to set this up, let me just let you know that God wants us to know His will for our lives. This is not a secret that He's keeping. This is not a mystery. It's not just for some people that, oh, well, some people know God's will, but most people don't. It's only for special people. No, to the contrary, God wants you to know His will for your life. Let me give you a few scriptures to support that. Ephesians 5, 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. God wants you to understand His will. He doesn't want it to be confusing. He doesn't want you to wonder about it. He doesn't want you to think that it's a big mystery. No, He wants you to understand His will. He does want to teach you His will. Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. And so He wants you to understand His will, but sometimes we have to be taught. Sometimes that understanding comes through the teaching of His word, comes through reading His word, comes through walking with Him in relationship. He wants to teach us what His will is. Thirdly, He wants us to discern His will. Romans 12, verse 2, out of the ESV, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is a great translation. ESV here translates that we are to discern what is the will of God. And so God wants us to know His will. He wants us to understand. He wants us to teach us. But He wants us to be able to discern what His will is for our lives. He wants us to get very, very specific direction for our life. Again, God has an amazing plan for every one of us in a general sense that we would all know Him. But He has a very specific plan for your life to fulfill purpose here on earth. And so that is very, very significant. It's very, very meaningful. And you're very, very special in the eyes of the Lord. And so He wants us to know His will for our lives. Now, before I give you seven things that will help you, like seven steps. I've called them guideposts to help you on discerning God's will and the direction for your life. It's necessary for me to share with you very honestly three roadblocks. Because if you want to know God's will for your life, there are things that will block you from knowing God's will. And so we need to be honest about that. We need to share that very, very truthfully and very candidly. So there are things that will keep you from understanding, from being taught, or for discerning or knowing God's will for your life. The first one is pride. It's pride. It's pride. It's you saying that you don't need God in your life. It's you saying that I'm going to do this on my own. You would be surprised how many people don't really seek God for His will for their life, even believers, even Christians. For example, they might be trying to make a big decision. Should I take this job? Should I go to that school? Should I buy this house? What ministry should I be involved in? How should I raise my kids in a particular scenario? And on it goes. You would be surprised how many people don't even pray about that. They don't even talk to the Lord about it. I would submit to you that if you are just using your own intellectuality and your own reasoning, that is a roadblock. I would invite you to please include the Lord in the prayer process and say, Lord, I desperately need you, and I want to know what your will is for my life. In all of these different scenarios, Lord, I really want to know what your will is. But if there's something in your heart that says, no, I'm going to just do it myself, or let's say it's an omission. It's not even a thing of arrogance where you say, I'm going to do it my own way, but it's a thing of omission where you don't include or you don't consult or you don't talk to the Lord or you don't pray to the Lord about it. That's a very, very dangerous place to be. And so the scripture is very, very clear. Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride leads to destruction and arrogance to downfall. And so most people in life that might have even succeeded in life, eventually you come to a place where you realize you cannot do life on your own. You need the Lord in your life. You need His will. You need His wisdom. You need His direction in your life. And so that's a roadblock. And so I just submit to you today, and I propose and suggest that you really include God in your plans. You see, we read that God has plans for your life, plans to prosper you, plans that you can enjoy life, plans for you to succeed. He wants you to succeed in every area of your life, in your relationships, in your marriage, in your job, in your ministry, in your parenting. He wants you to succeed, and He's got plans. Now, wouldn't it behoove you? Wouldn't it be wise if He has plans for you to include Him in your plans for life? To include Him in the prayer process and to consult Him and to seek Him? Pride says that we just don't really need the Lord. And I want to just subtly and just gently say that sometimes it's not this outright thing against the Lord, but it might just be a sin of omission. You didn't include Him. Include Him in the process. I would ask you to do that. So pride can be a roadblock. The second roadblock is willful sin. Willful sin. Now, I'm not talking about inadvertently making mistakes. We all inadvertently make mistakes. We all sin sometimes. I'm talking about willful sin. Listen to Psalm 19, verse 13. Keep your servant also from willful sins, may they not rule over me. This would be the person that they know that some things are wrong, but they're going to do it anyway. It doesn't matter. If the Lord says in his word that immorality is wrong, if the Lord says that lying is wrong, cheating is wrong, they know it's wrong, but they do it anyway. My brother and sister, that is so dangerous. But you would be surprised how many Christians will do that because it doesn't fit conveniently into their life. And so this is one of the most dangerous things. It's one thing to sin. It's one thing to mess up. and you really don't realize it, or you're working on some attitudes or whatever it might be. It's another thing to read in God's word something very, very clear that you know is wrong, but you deliberately do it anyway. That's a dangerous thing. And I just want to tell you that that's a huge roadblock to being able to get God's will for your life. You're gonna go on a detour until your heart is softened and you begin to realize, you know what, that isn't God's design for me. And so he's very, very clear. I do want to say this, and I'll just insert this as a footnote. There are many things that you already know what God says because he revealed it to you in his word. You already know that. The second step, though, is what about the specific things in my life, the day-to-day things? But if there are things that he has already revealed to you in his word about right and wrong, and you ignore that, and the Bible calls that willful or deliberate sin, that's going to really block your ability to discern and know God's will for your life. So number one, pride. Secondly, willful sin. Thirdly, a selfish mindset. A selfish mindset can keep you from really discerning God's will. James 3:16 says this, "For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." If we live our lives just for ourselves, and we don't have a vision that's bigger than ourselves. We don't have a vision for our family. We don't have a vision for the church. We don't have a vision for the world. But we're just thinking very, very selfish. A selfish mindset. The Bible says that there's disorder in every evil practice. Let me give you another translation out of the ERV. I think it's very fitting. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there will be confusion in every kind of evil. So if we're trying to discern God's will and we're selfish, one version, NIV, says there's disorder. Your life becomes disorderly. But this other translation, the ERV, uses the word here, confusion. I think that's an accurate, very apropos, very, very enlightening word, because if you're just selfish, then you can't discern God's will. If you're selfish, there's confusion. And so when you come to Christ, many people are confused about their life. God doesn't want you to be confused. He wants you to know his will, and he wants it to be very, very clear in your life. I submit that sometimes, not always, but sometimes people have a hard time knowing what God's will is because they're really self-absorbed. And if you'll come to the cross, lay your life down and say, "Lord, I just want to know your will for my life. I surrender to you." God, with a huge smile, is going to say, "Let me be clear. There won't be any confusion. Let me reveal some direction and some details for your life." Can you please say this out loud? Say, "Discerning God's will." Say, "Discerning God's will." Direction for life. Direction for life. So those are three roadblocks that we really should prayerfully think about and consider. Now, let me give you seven guideposts, seven steps, if you will, toward discerning God's will and really understanding direction in your life. Seven guideposts. Number one, pay attention to your desires. Pay attention to your desires. If you love the Lord today, if you're born again, if you have a personal relationship with the Lord, pay attention to the desires that are in your heart. Because God created you a certain way, and he puts desires in you on purpose. So listen to Philippians 2, verse 13. "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So pay attention to that. Pay attention to the things that you get excited about. Pay attention to the things that you really enjoy. What are the desires that are in you? You already love the Lord. So what are the things that you like? What are the things that you're drawn to? If there's a certain vocation, if there's a certain career, what are the things that you get excited about? Pay attention to that. Pay attention to the things that you don't care for, the things that you don't get excited about. Pay attention to those and pray about those because God puts desires inside of you and He moves you with desires. Some people have had a real misconception of the heart of the Father. They have a real misconception of God, and it goes a little bit like this. Well, if I really ask God for His will, He's going to have me do something I don't want to do. And that's a misconception. Now, qualifier, does God ask you to do things that are uncomfortable sometimes? Of course. Does He stretch you? Of course. Does He ask you to go outside your comfort zone? Of course. Those are things that he stretches us in. But I think that's a misconception of God. When you love God and God and you understand God loves you, He puts desires inside of you, and so He moves you with excitement. You know, I go to some hard places in the world. Some people might think that I go to dangerous places. I do. I go to some dangerous places. I've been in many situations where my life is on the line, or there's danger in those situations. But do you know that I have complete peace about it? And this might seem really odd to you, but I have a desire to go to those places. I'm drawn to that. I'm pulled to go. That comes from the Lord. Not everybody has that desire to do those things. And so if I were to ask some of you to preach, that would ruin your week. That would ruin your year to maybe be in front of everybody in the church and to teach and to do something. But if you're called to teach and you're called to preach, then there's a desire. Then when I ask you, there might be some uncomfortability, there might be some stretching, you think you got to prepare, all of those things that go into it. But if you're called to do it, there'll be a desire to do it. Does that make sense? And so if you're called to do something, God puts a desire inside of you. Now, again, a qualifier, there might be times that even if that's not your calling, He might say, you know, I really want you to testify. I really want you to share. And that might be hard for you to get out of your comfort zone, but that's different. We're talking about direction for your life. You'll have a desire to do something. If you have a desire to start your own business, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that. Or if you say to yourself, I would never want to start my own business. I would rather be on a team and work for a company. Pay attention to those things and let God move you with desire. This verse is so powerful. It is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill His good purpose for your life. So pay attention to your desires. Number two, seek counsel and advice. Seek counsel and advice. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is a step that many people miss. And it really doesn't matter how old you are. We all need counsel and advice in our life. Now, listen to the scripture, Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Now, there's a lot we could say about that. You want to be careful where you get your counsel from. You want to be careful who you talk to. But the point here is that we should all seek counsel and we should get advice from other people. And so, because when you start getting other input, then you'll start hearing and seeing things that you didn't see before. So we all need that, where you might just have a desire, but if you ever get any input from anybody else, then you might just blaze on in a certain way. But somebody's counsel and somebody's advice, they're going to be able to help guide you along your way. And so this is really, really an important step. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. So if you have a desire in your heart and you're seeking advice and counsel and people that are around you, they will confirm and they'll say, yeah, you're a fit for that. I could see that. I could really see that you would do that. I know your personality. I know your character. I can see the gifting on your life. You'll need that encouragement. But they might begin to say, you know what? I can see some things, but maybe you need to grow in some other areas, or maybe you need some training in some other areas. Get some counsel and advice as you journey on the path. Number three, write down your desires and your dreams. Write them down. So one of my favorite questions to ask young people and is to ask them, what are your dreams? What do you want to do with your life? What are some dreams that you have? And write them down. Now listen to Habakkuk 2, verses 2 to 3. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. That word herald means a messenger. So write down the revelation. Write down your dreams. Write down your vision. Write them down on plain tablets so that a messenger may run with it. Now, the NLT translates that as a runner, so that a runner may run with it. But really, this word herald, which is a messenger, it conveys the idea of actually an angel. This is really powerful. What the Bible is saying here, and we know that angels are messengers, right, in the scripture. What the Bible is saying here is that if you write something down, what's happened is it's come from the invisible realm and you have put it on paper and now it's become visible. Okay, so I'll just say this. Everything in life starts in the spirit realm. Everything in life starts in the invisible realm. For example, this building here, when we first came, this was nothing but a piece of dirt. But I had a dream. And I began to imagine, and I just had a certain amount of space but I started sketching, I started drawing and thinking, well, this is what I want this building to look like. And then there had to go to a professional for architectural plans and building plans. And so those things had to be written out. And then a contractor had to come in and begin to pour concrete and begin to put up walls and a roof. What happened was something invisible had to be written down. It came from the invisible realm and made its way into this realm, and it became visible. And then the concrete, and then all of the details begin to come together. What this verse is saying here is take your dreams, take your vision, write them down, because it comes from the invisible realm. Think about this. Every invention started with a thought. Every invention was invisible. Had to think about it first, and then it had to become reality. That's the way the world works. So God gives you a dream, a desire. Now, what this scripture is saying is go ahead and write that down, and not only does it suddenly become visible, but what this scripture is saying is that a messenger, and I want to submit to you, I want to propose to you, that it's more than just a messenger, it's more than just a runner, like the NLT says, it's really angelic power. What happens is it releases something into the spirit realm, and not only does God's power begin to take place and begin to operate, but you've got angels working on your behalf, angels that can help begin to implement this, angels that can help begin to deliver the message, deliver the plans to where they need to go. Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it, for the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it, it will certainly come and will not delay. And so if you've written down your dreams and you're in the in-between time, the second part of the verse is for you to hold on to say, you know what, God's timing is perfect. His appointed time, he'll release that to you. And so to review, number one, we've said pay attention to your desires. Two, seek counsel and advice. Third, write down your desires and dreams. Start giving yourself a very practical path that you can begin to run on. We don't have time to teach on it, but if you were to set goals, part of the goal-setting process is to have some long-term goals and vision that you're moving toward, and then what are the short-term goals, steps to get you to that long-term vision? Number four, commit your plans to the Lord. And so you're getting direction for your life. You're paying attention to desires. You're talking to people about it. You're writing down some of your dreams. But now you just commit your plans to the Lord. In other words, you say, there's some practical things that I want to start doing to move in that direction. I want to be a brain surgeon, so I've got to get my degree. I've got to do pre-med. I've got to put in the work to train myself to become a brain surgeon. I want to become a teacher, but what are the steps that I have to do? And you start planning those things out, but then you commit it to the Lord. You say, Lord, this is my desire. These are my plans, but I commit this to you. What you're doing is you're including him in the process. You're saying, Lord, it's all about you, and I'm starting to move in this direction. And so the scripture says in Proverbs 16, verse 3, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. That's your verse today. To say, God wants me to succeed, and the plans that I have, he has this desire for me to succeed. But commit it to the Lord. Commit it to the Lord. So you commit it and you start running down this path that God has laid out for you, that you are praying, you're planning with him, and you're planning your course with the Lord. Now, as you begin that path, how many people know that it doesn't always happen right away and as quick as you think it would happen? In fact, I would probably say that usually it takes a lot longer than we think it'll take. Whatever the dream might be, whatever the plans might be, it usually takes. My experience has been many things in my life have taken a lot longer than I thought they would take. But I found out this: God's timing is perfect. And when I look back over my shoulder, I would rather have it happen the way God wanted it to happen, when he wanted it to happen, and he had an appointed time for it. He brought all the pieces together. Now, this is another message, but let me just say this as well. Sometimes we're not ready. We think we're ready. We think we're ready to have that business, to handle millions of dollars. We think we're ready. But you know what? God is more concerned about your heart than anything that you will accomplish. He's more concerned about that. And I'll bet you would agree with me that you would rather not have the millions and lose your way. You would rather God have your heart and you make it to the end. Say amen to that. I would rather. And so I have to trust that, okay, in the process, maybe that I'm not as ready as I think that I should be. So the next step is pretty important. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. So you've committed your plans to the Lord. You're getting counsel. You're writing things down. You're paying attention to your desires. But now, as you're starting to walk this path out, you delight yourself in the Lord. Listen to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. This is a beautiful passage because you can't make things happen all the time. You can't force things to happen. So you're working things out. You're walking it out. But then you just delight yourself in the Lord. You say, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to get involved in serving you. I'm going to get involved in the fellowship. I am just going to delight myself in you and trust you that your timing is perfect, and I'm not going to try to manufacture or force something. Can you see this delicate balance between working hard and following the path that God has for you, committing your plans to the Lord, but also realizing you can't do things in your own strength? And so you surrender to the Lord and you say, you know what, I'm going to delight myself in the Lord. He'll give me the desires of my heart at the right time. And let me say this, by the way, I think this is an important statement, that God knows you better than you know yourself. So sometimes we have desires, we're working through those things, and we think that it should look a certain way, but maybe it's not going to look that way because God knows you better than you know yourself. And so delight yourself in the Lord, and then he'll give you the desires of your heart. So this next point is really, really important. This is really important. I think this is where oftentimes believers miss it. Yield to the Lord and make any needed adjustments. Yield to the Lord and make any needed adjustments. So I've learned this, that not only have things taken longer than I thought they would take sometimes, and don't misunderstand, I could preach a message on the suddenlies of God. And God suddenly comes through. He suddenly provides. He does miracles. Don't misunderstand. I could preach a message on that. But I have discovered that often many things in life take longer than I thought they would. Here's the other principle that I've learned. Often it looks very different than I thought it would look. And this is really, really important, what I'm about to say. This is huge. This is huge. Just because it looks different than I thought it would look doesn't mean that I missed God. Okay? So I'll give you an example. If think of it in terms of a puzzle, and you're given a few pieces of a puzzle to put together. If I gave you 20 pieces of a puzzle, you might look at it and say, oh yeah, that's a house. Or, oh yeah, that's a globe. Or, oh yeah, that's a car, or whatever it might be. And then you put the puzzle together and it didn't quite look like you thought it was going to look. That picture didn't look the same. That's really, really important. So it doesn't mean that I necessarily miss God, but it looks a little bit different. And if you go back and look over your shoulder, some of the things that were in your heart, you'll realize, you know what? The principle of that was from God, but it didn't quite look like I thought it would look. Example. Maybe God spoke to you a long time ago that He is going to bless you financially. You saw that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, and you knew that He was going to prosper you. And then you noticed that you had a gift to make money. I think some people just have a gift on them. They're entrepreneurs. They have an ability to make money. And so you thought that within a certain amount of time, you would have a lot of resources flowing through. In fact, your heart was right. You said, I want to help finance the kingdom of God. I want to help other people. But then it didn't quite look like you thought it would look like. In fact, maybe you lost a business. Maybe you lost a house. Maybe your investments tanked, whatever it might be. And then finally, through all the rugged places in life and all the disappointments and heartache, God heals your heart, you come through, and then He begins to prosper you, but it looked a lot different than the way you thought it would look. The same principle was that He was going to bless you, but maybe it looked very, very different. Maybe it wasn't the first business that you started, but it was the third or fourth business that you started. And we could give it many, many different examples about our ministry, about different things. And so yield to the Lord and make any needed adjustment. So as you're walking this out and you're delighting yourself in the Lord, but you might have to make adjustments and say, you know what, it didn't quite look like I thought it would look, but that's okay, because this is a process. And as I'm yielding to Him, I'll make adjustments. So listen to Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Can you see the balance of this? Let me remind you of what we read in Proverbs 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Whatever you do, that's a promise, you'll succeed. But wait a minute, now there's a counterbalance. Proverbs 19, 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. God has a way of, even if you have your plans and you're paying attention to your desires and you think, yeah, that's what God wants me to do, but if it's really not quite His purpose, He has a way of guiding you in such a direction to get you to the place where you're going to be in His purpose, and that will prevail. And it's not actually disappointing. Might be at first, but it's not disappointing because you've yielded completely to the Lord. And so you're saying, okay, Lord, all I've ever wanted is Your will. All I've ever wanted is to please You. I'm paying attention to desires. I'm getting counsel. I'm writing things down. I'm committing my way to You, but I'm just delighting myself in You. And so if things look a little bit different, I'm okay with that, because all I really wanted was to do Your will, and I want to yield to that. So if I have to make adjustments, it's okay. It's okay. It is okay. And so many people kind of miss it on this one because they get frustrated. It didn't work out the way they thought it would work out. It didn't look the way they thought it would look. They have to go through disappointments, but then they get frustrated and angry at the Lord, which I can understand those feelings, but God wants you to get through all that anger, frustration from the Lord, and get to the place where you yield to Him and you make any adjustments that you need to make. Amen, church? And so this is a really, really important point. The last one is this, and I love this. God will give you joy in the things you do. And so he wants to give you direction for your life. But, you know, he really wants to get you to a place where you settle in and you know what you're called to do. You know what you're good at, what you're not so good at. You know the career path that maybe he has called you to. You're settling in on that, albeit sometimes there's ups and downs, but you've settled into that. You know what your purpose is in life. You're settling into your ministry and reaching people and ministering to people. And he wants you to be able to really enjoy life. That's his desire. So he wants you to enjoy the things that you do. I love this, Ecclesiastes 5, 18 to 20. I decided to read it in the contemporary English version. All the versions are good, but listen to this. What is the best thing to do in the short life God has given us? I think we should enjoy eating, drinking, and working hard. Isn't that a great, great sentence? We should enjoy eating, we should enjoy drinking, and we should enjoy just working hard, whatever God has put in front of us. You know God created you to work, right? I mean, there's a fulfillment in that. Obviously, there's balance. He doesn't want you to become a workaholic. He wants you to enjoy life, but he does want you to find what your purpose is and enjoy that sense of accomplishment, that sense of providing for your family. That's just part of life, that we work hard in there, and there's reward in that. This is what God intends for us to do. Suppose you were very rich and able to enjoy everything you own. Then go ahead and enjoy working hard. This is God's gift to you. God will keep you so happy that you won't have time to worry about each day. Man, I love that verse. That there would be meaning in your life and provision, no matter what it is, but you're just enjoying life, and then you're so happy that you just don't even have time to worry about every day. Don't you want to be so happy, so full of peace, so full of joy that you just don't have time to worry? That's a good scripture. That's a good scripture. This is God's heart for us, that we would enjoy in the things we do. And so I want to prophesy to you today. I want to declare and proclaim to you that God has great plans for your life, and he wants you to hit your stride. He wants you to hit a place in your life where things are meaningful, where you're at rest, where you're at peace, where you've discovered his will for your life, and you are ministering and influencing other people. This is his heart's desire. And he wants you to just enjoy life, to enjoy your family, to enjoy the relationships, that you're at a place where you just don't have time to worry every day. I think we should say this as a prayer. This is so powerful. Say this with me if you trust me in this prayer. Say, I don't have time to worry. Say this. Yeah. Say, Lord, I don't want to have time to worry. Yeah. How many people know worry takes a lot of time, and it's a lot of unproductive time? But let's get to the place in God where we're peaceful and we don't have time to worry. So let me review them and repeat them in closing. 7 guideposts. Pay attention to your desires. What has God put inside of you? What are the desires? How did he make you? There's a reason why you get excited about stuff. There's a reason why you like things and don't like things. You're your own person, and pay attention to those desires. Seek counsel and advice. Get other people's input. And then write down your desires and your dreams and commit your plans to the Lord. But as you do so, delight yourself in him. That's the focus. No matter what, you're going to work on your relationship with the Lord, and then you'll yield to the Lord and make any necessary or needed adjustments. And then God will give you joy in the things that you do. And so I conclude with this. God wants you to know his will for your life. Okay, let's say it out loud again. Say discerning God's will. Say it. Say discerning God's will. Let's say this. I need direction for my life. I need direction. And he wants you. He wants you to know that. He wants you to know his will for your life. I close with this verse, John 10, verse 10. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. Please know this today, that God has an amazing plan for your life, but the devil also has a plan to distract you, to knock you out of the race, to steal your joy, to steal your the purpose that God has for you. That's what he wants to do. So the thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose, Jesus is talking, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Isn't that wonderful? God wants you to have a very enriching life, a very full life, a very satisfying life, a very meaningful life. This is what God's intent and purpose is for you, is to understand that. And so we want to discern what God's will is. We want direction for our lives. But know this, the Lord wants you to enjoy life. You say amen, church? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet.